Welcome to the Jazz Penal School Podcast, episode number 142. I have exactly four words for you. We're getting an app.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 142. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe. Thank you so much for being here and listening. I appreciate all of you. And if you guys enjoy this, I know there's a lot of podcast listeners out there. Please, if you haven't done so, give us a review, a rating. If this is your first time, check us out. Wait to the end of the episode and be like, oh, okay, that was pretty good. I will give them a 5-star review. Thank you guys all so much to everyone who has done that already. Giving that 5-star review helps us reach more people and kind of spread the word about the podcast. But anyway, we got a really, really awesome episode today. And this is going to be on the 12 ingredients for jazz piano success. Now, this came to me, this idea for the podcast, as I was thinking about recipes, right? And how, you know, different things kind of go into recipes to create different types of food or drinks or whatever, you know, you're using a recipe for. But there absolutely is kind of a recipe for jazz piano success. And I wanted to kind of put that together for all of you so you could kind of have an idea of where you're at. Like what, you know, it's kind of like a, what's the right word? I can't think of it, but I guess just a comparison chart, not a comparison chart, but just, you know, something to kind of gauge what you need to do, what you need to learn and accomplish, right? Now, obviously, in jazz piano is just, you know, it's just a smorgasbord. I mean, there's so much information out there, but I wanted to simplify things. I wanted to put 12 of these ingredients into, you know, this episode, so you could really focus and understand what you need to do. And I guarantee there's going to be things in here that you can obviously work on, you need to improve upon, and you'll know, like, oh, I've got steps 4, 6, and 5 down. Let's work on steps 3, 2, and 10, you know? So you're really going to have, like, a nice little kind of plan to go off of, and I'm going to give you the checklist. We're going to create a checklist for you. Go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast142 to get the checklist, or I guess I should say the recipe for success. You'll have all of the ingredients that I'm going to be talking about. And you can keep that on your wall, and you'll know exactly what to work on when you sit down at the piano to practice. So before I dive into the episode and the lesson, I have some amazing news, and we are going to be building an app. And I can officially say this, that we are officially partnering up with someone who's going to help us build a Jazz Piano School app. And I'm super, super excited about this for a lot of different reasons. We're going to be having all of our content, first of all, on the app. So you don't need to go to the website. You don't need to go to iTunes. You'll have all of our content within the app. So you can pull it up on your phone. You can pull it up on your iPad, your computer, whatever. And excuse me. And you'll have all of our free content. And we release free content every single week. And whether it's our blog posts, we release our podcast. We release our Lick of the Week on Monday. Podcasts are on Wednesdays, and blogs are usually on Fridays, depending upon, you know, what's happening. Sometimes we may skip a week for the blog post or things like that. But we are releasing free content, and the content is, you know, they're lessons. These are like full lessons, guys, that you're getting from us. And it's just going to be absolutely amazing. And obviously, if you're looking to eventually, we're going to build the app so that all of our main curriculum is going to be there. Our specialty courses will be in the app and our lab. So for members and all the members out there of Jazz Piano School, you'll be able to access all the videos, all the content through the app, through the, you know, your iPad and stuff like that, instead of having to navigate to the website, you know, which is, you know, it's just an extra step. But again, it's nice to have everything in one place. You can just click on the app. You know exactly what to do. We can we have a lot of fun things. So we're going to set up practice reminders. We can set up notifications to send you practice reminders, kind of notify you where you're at in your practice, how much practicing you've done. I don't know if you guys have used the Headspace app much. I absolutely love that app. I do a lot of meditation, super, super helpful for myself, but they have an amazing app, and it's so helpful because, you know, it keeps track of all the time that you've meditated, keeps track of, you know, the different packs you're working on, things like that. So that's exactly what I imagine for Jazz Piano School. It will keep track of all the, whether you're working through the main course, it'll give you your progress, it'll give you time practice. Obviously, we're going to implement some gamification into it, badges. You can share that with other people. Now, besides personal use, home use, my main plan for the app is to go more into institutions and teachers as well. So that teachers, you know, not unlike kind of using materials and books, you know, when I teach a lot, it's hard for me. I mean, I had all the materials in my head, so I would teach Jazz Piano School materials in a set, structured, organized fashion for students, and they loved it. That's one of the reasons Jazz Piano School was built. But the I just lost my train of thought. But most of the time, yeah, here we go. Most of the time, people, teachers are using books, you know, random books, and they'll say, oh, check out the Mark Levine book, then check out this book. And it's just, all the materials are all over the place. Now, they're great materials, right? But it's just hard for a student to kind of walk through a curriculum, walk through a plan. And that's exactly why I built JPS. So teachers will be able to use the app and assign you steps within Jazz Piano School. Now, the teacher will still be there live to help you through things, but it'll be such a nice thing. Like, instead of having to use like 10 random jazz piano books, everything you need will be inside the app, and they can check your progress. They can assign you work. You can probably upload, you know, recordings of yourself practicing. The app may even be able to listen to you practice the jazz assignments, the jazz exercises. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And for teachers, schools, and institutions, you know, I think this is going to be just a huge turning point because so many teachers are already asking us, hey, Brendan, can we use your materials to teach? Can we use Jazz Piano School? Can we get a lifetime membership and use this to teach our students? Absolutely. That's what I built Jazz Piano School for, right? To have this and spread this great knowledge and structured organization of learning jazz. I mean, that's my whole vision. That's my whole point to why I built this. So we didn't have to kind of scatter ourselves, you know, picking up all these different little pieces, trying to connect them, not knowing what goes to what, right? We have a nice, set, organized, clean, step-by-step system process that brings us through the process of learning jazz piano. And, you know, imagine that. I mean, for all the members out there who use Jazz Piano School, you know, they know it's an amazing, you know, the efficiency, the optimization of just moving and working through step by step what needs to get done. You know, it cuts years and years, I would say like decades off your learning time, right? And you can reach these levels that you want and aspire to get to, right? And dream of reaching in your jazz piano playing. And that's my hope, my yearning for everyone who becomes a member. So anyway, that's going to be a fantastic thing. We have started that. I'll keep you guys updated on all that good stuff. So, whew, man, I'm talking a mile a minute. I'm excited. But with that being said, let's dive right into this episode. So again, number one, I'm going to go through these kind of quickly because I just want to boom, 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 get you all this material. So number one, the first ingredient that you definitely need to know is all seventh chords. You need to know all your jazz seventh chords, whether that's a major seven, right? Whether that's a minor seven, a dominant seven, right? Now, those first three, I would say, are the first main majority of chords you should know, but you should also know other things like your minor major, right? Your major sharp five, right? All these different types of chords. Your diminished chord, right? Diminished seven chord. And, you know, everything and anything in between. Your six chords, you know, I'm probably forgetting a couple, but the goal is to know all your chords. You have to harmonically know every single chord. Now, the other thing about this, you have to know these chords in all of the inversions as well, right? So here are all of my inversions for my six chord. If I do my major seven chord, here's all my inversions, right? You should be able to do this and play them with both hands, right? So I should be able to play this here. And you can go slow. You don't necessarily have to go fast here, right? Because, you know, you're probably not going to need to jump up your inversions really quickly if you can. That's, you know, all power to you. But just knowing the actual, you know, notes of everything, right? For your, you know, minor major, whether it's your major sharp five here, right? Your inversions, you have to know those. You just have to be, those all have to be solid. So if I said play a B flat minor seven, minor major seven chord, right? You could go, you could boom, play that. You know, play whatever it is, right? An E flat major sharp five chord, right? You know, you could play that chord. And because it could be done in both hands, right? Now, a lot of you, this is ingredient number one. A lot of you right at this point, you have to be honest with yourself and say, okay, well, you know, I can't do this, right? I can't do this. So that needs to be worked on, right? You just, it's just a simple, it's like laying down a brick by brick by brick, the foundation, right? You can't build a house unless you get that foundation. You can't just leave a beam out. You can't leave a, you know, a cement. You can't leave a pillar out. You just can't do it, right? The house won't work. And simply put, in jazz piano school, you simply cannot afford to just not know one of these chords if you want to get to the level that you aspire to be, greatness, right? All amazing jazz piano players will be able to do exactly all the things that I'm about to tell you in this full episode. So that was step number one. Let's go to step number two. This is going to be all of your major and minor scales. So you need to be able to play all of your major and minor scales no matter what. You don't have to be able to play them fast or fancy, right? You just need to be able to play them without any hesitation, without any guess. You need to know, right? You need to know exactly all of the notes in your scales. Now, for your minor scales, the scales that you are going to need to know for your minor harmony in jazz, okay, essentially are going to be your three different types of scales. So basically your, I'll take it in a 2-5-1. So if we have a D minor 7 flat 5, okay, there's going to be three types of C minor scale that you're going to want to know, okay? So melodic minor, actually we'll start from the back up. So the first chord, right, your melodic minor. Now in classical, you're coming down a different way. You're going up and coming down a different way. In jazz, you're just using one scale. So your melodic minor, you're going to need to know, right? and that's going to be used on the last chord, so on your 1 major 7. Now, on your 5 chord, your dominant chord, you need to know your harmonic scale, your C harmonic scale. Okay? Right? So when I start my scale on G, it sounds like this. Right? And that's what I would use over the 5 chord. Okay? And the last one's just going to be your natural minor scale, and that's what you're going to be using over this minor 7 flat 5, right? So on your 2 chord, you're essentially playing a C minor natural scale, right? C natural minor scale. But I'm going to start it on D, right? So D, okay? And then you're moving to your harmonic minor, and then finally melodic minor, right? Okay, so your minor scales, your minor and major scales, you just need to be able to know those in all keys. And again, you just have to. Otherwise, when you get to that chord, you're not going to be able to play it. Okay, number three, your diatonic modes. So many people think they don't need to know their modes, or they, you know, it's complicated. It's not that complicated, but you do need to know them for certain textures, right? So my C Ionian mode. It's a completely different sound than my C, my C Mixolydian mode. Well, I guess I wouldn't say completely. I should have chosen a different one. But let me see, then like C Locrian, right? Right? Okay. So my, like, that, those are two completely different sounds. And for you to not really know that, right? Or if I played C Dorian, right? Right? Or C Phrygian. Okay. These are completely different sounds that have to be known. I mean, it's just part of jazz, right? So if you were playing and this is the easiest way to describe it. I mean, there's so much more that goes into this, but if you were, you know, playing a chord, like let's say you had a major 7 chord. Now, obviously, this is a terrible example, but let's say, again, you played C Phrygian over a major 7 chord. Right? You can already hear how completely out and not connected to the harmonies that sounds. Now, for a lot of you, when you improvise, that's exactly what's happening. I mean, this analogy is far from actually what happens in a way, because obviously you're probably not playing, but you're playing notes that are not out. You're not playing notes that are within the mode, and thus it doesn't sound right in jazz, okay? So your diatonic modes in all keys have to be learned, they have to be played, they have to be practiced, right? Number 4 is going to be rootless voicings. You have to know your rootless voicings. Rootless voicings is the stepping stone to all essential voicings in jazz. And again, there's 2 sets of rootless voicings, right? Some people call these your structure voicings or your A and B voicings. There's so many different names. I call them the rootless voicings because there is no root in my to these voicings. It's just they're rootless, right? Okay, or this. Now again, simply put, you need to know these in all keys in both hands so you're not hesitating at all at any point when you're playing these. All right, that was number 4. Your drop 2 voicings. You need to know what a drop 2 voicing is and be able to comp through, you know, 2-5-1s, any chord in a drop 2 fashion, right? Okay, now I was throwing in some extensions as well, but that is an essential, again, an essential ingredient to creating a jazz sound within your playing, right? You could already hear. You can already hear that's like just a traditional classic jazz sound, right? Your drop twos have to be learned. Now your rootless, by the way, if I move back a step, number 4, your rootless can be used in different types of registers. In jazz piano school, I teach register comping. So if you want to comp down here, that's a different type of comping than I would use. I wouldn't do that over here, right? In jazz piano school, there's different registers that I use different comping methods. Here, I'd use more of a two-hand method. If I were in the key of F. I'm using the roots plus a drop 2 style. This is a two-hand system. And in jazz piano school, we have a product called the two-hand voicing building system, which I teach you everything about what I just did there. But drop 2s, I only use up here. I'm not going to use a drop 2 down here. It just doesn't sound good. This is what I was doing before, right? Right, so your drop 2s are used mainly in this register, and then up here we can use rootless in our left hand in octaves, right? Stuff like that, whatever it is. But the rootless voicings are such a flexible voicing that you need to know to, and you can already do most of everything what I did except for the drop 2s, excuse me, and the two-hand voicing stuff that I did here, but again, there are ways to use your rootless voicings there as well. So anyway, drop 2s was number 5. Number 6 is going to be extensions or upper structure triads. So knowing your extensions, you need to know all your extensions for chords and your upper structure triads. Now, I wouldn't say you definitely need to know all your upper structure triads, but it's a good stepping stone to learn your extensions. So for example, if I play a C dominant chord, my 2 upper structure triad gives me certain extensions. Now, if you want to learn your 9, which I recommend you do, your sharp 11 and 13 by themselves, you're going to need those eventually. So like if you go to play a voicing and you want to place your 9, sharp 11, 13, or double your 9, you know, you can do that. You can switch up the extensions you want. Let's say I want to do sharp 9, flat 13, and 1 on top. Let's say I want to put sharp 9 on top, right? Let's say I want to do sharp 9, sharp 11, natural 13, and 1 on top, right? So I know exactly where all my extensions are in every chord, in every key. So no matter what chord I'm playing, I can pick and choose my colors. You know, however I choose, right? It doesn't matter. Because it's all, and I have relationships with all of the extensions. Like, I know exactly what I'm going to get when I play this sharp 11. I know exactly what sound I'm going to get when I play this 9, when I play this 13, when I play a flat 13. I know, because I've used and developed a relationship with all these colors, all the extensions, I can paint my picture using the colors. And that's exactly the level you want to get to. But you need to know all your extensions. Like, if I say, what's a flat 13 over a B flat 7 chord? Right, if you can't pick out that note like that, right, then that just needs to be done. And again, like, there's your G flat, right? Here's your regular 13. Here's your flat 13, right? What's a flat 9 in for your G flat 7 chord, right? You should know exactly immediately. It's a G. So that kind of notion, if you can't do that yet, again, that's an ingredient for jazz piano success that has to happen. And a good way to catapult yourself into knowing extensions well is through the use of upper structure triads, because all you have to think about is a triad in your right hand, which will give you a set number of extensions every single time. Okay, so that's number 6 that has to be learned. Number 7, let me see, jumped around here. We're getting into improv a little bit, right? Improv by connecting chord tones with modes. So by now, by reaching this point, you should already know your chord tones very, very well to all your chords, right? If you've gone through the progression of mastering kind of all the ingredients I've given you, at this point, you'll know all your chord tones to every single chord, right? So what you should be able to do is, when you're improvising, you need to be able to connect your chord tones with modes through different progressions. So the modes, obviously, are your connectors, and the chord tones, I'm not going to spend too much time, are your anchors, right? So you're using your anchors. And every time you're making a connection to the new chord tone, you're landing on that chord tone as the chord switches, right? So here's my chord tone. I'm using my mode. I'm landing on a chord tone. Right, that should be able to be done in all keys through any progression. It doesn't matter. I mean, if I move from an A flat major, or if I move from an E flat major 7, and then to a D flat major 7, I should be able to do the same thing. Or if I'm going down in half steps, right? You know, whatever it is, right? You should be able to move through all chords, any chord, by connecting your mode to the new chord tone that you're landing on the downbeat of 1 for that next chord. Okay, an amazing, amazing exercise. Sterling, one of the JPS staff, actually gave a podcast. I forget what podcast it was, a couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, on this exact exercise, right? Which is so, so important to jazz. Okay, to being able to improvise through anything, right? So that's number 7. Number 8. You need to know some of your improv scales, some cornerstone improv scales, which are going to be your altered scale, right? So in the key of C, your altered scale contains your flat 9, your sharp 9, okay? Your natural 3rd, sharp 11, flat 13, flat 7, and 1. You should be able to play that in all keys, in every key. You're going to see a lot of altered chords in jazz, okay? You should be able to play your half whole scale, so half, whole, half, whole, half, whole, half, whole. Okay? And this is going to give you a different type of sound than your altered scale, because there's different notes, right? So we have the same starting, but once we get to here, we have a regular 5 natural 13 instead of the flat 13. So different types of extensions. Your whole half scale you should know as well. This is going to be used for diminished chords and other areas, but whole, half, whole, half, whole, half, whole, half. Right? Whole half. Okay, your whole tone scale. This is all whole steps, right? This is essentially the monk scale. All these scales you should know, like the back of your hand, in all keys, going up, going down, starting on different notes, the 3rd, the 5th, 7th. And it's just imperative, right? It's just, you just have to know these scales in order to get certain sounds that you want. Okay. So that was number 8. Moving on. Number 9, we got 3 more. 4 more, rather. Number 9 is going to be improv with approach notes. You need to know how to improvise with approach notes. You need to know your approach notes, know how to use them. By approach notes, I mean your half steps, maybe your chord scale above, maybe combination, maybe a bigger combination. Right? So all of these are called approach notes. Okay, now you can hear when I'm using my approach notes, I am playing a bebop style of jazz, right? If that's what you're looking for, you need to learn how to play approach notes. It's very, very simple, honestly, and that's what I love about Jazz Piano School. And my approach is that essentially, if you want to sound like this, you need to learn this, right? It's very systematic, very, very formulaic. And then after you've mastered this stuff, and I wouldn't say mastered, but gotten it to a certain level, you can explore. You now have freedom. You've achieved jazz piano freedom to play and express yourself however you want. So if I did want to use approach notes in my solo, I can do that. If I want to use more modal stuff, I could do that as well. If I want to use some more reharm stuff, I could go. It doesn't matter because I'm free to express myself however I want because I've worked on all the previous ingredients to get to the point that I'm at. Okay? So that was number 9. Now, number 10. Everything I've talked about up until now can be used in a group setting. So if you're playing in a band or a group or with a bass player, it's going to be a very, very simple process. Actually, playing with a group is much easier than playing solo piano because all you need to do is play your left hand voicings and your right hand solos or plays the melody. Very, very simple. That's all you need to worry about. Your left hand voicings. Whatever it is, whatever you're playing. I wasn't really playing anything, and the bass player's walking, the drummer's drumming, right? That's all you need. So it's not that difficult, actually. Just work on everything that we've talked about up until this point. I'm struggling, I need some water. Excuse me. So number 10, okay? Number 9 was your improv with approach notes. Number 10 is going to be if you want to play solo piano, you need to know your solo piano components. All right, so what does that mean? How exactly do you cover everything in solo piano while your right hand's doing the melody, right? So there's a lot of things that goes into this. Whatever it is that you're playing, your left hand is doing something, right? Let me see. I don't know why I picked this tune, but exactly that's yesterday's. So your left hand is keeping the tempo, right? While your right hand's playing the melody, and it's going to be doing that for any tune that you choose. And again, what's going into this, I can't teach this entire thing, but you have a combination of bass notes, you have a combination of shells, bass note to chord, full chords. I have some tenths in here. Sometimes my right hand's coming down to comp and fill, right? Whatever it is you're playing, right? So tenths, I have shells. Those are your left hand solo piano components. You have to learn how to do that in order to play solo piano. And they're going to change based on whether you're playing a ballad or, right? right? So there's things I'm doing in my left hand while my right hand plays the melody, okay? That has to be learned. Otherwise, it doesn't sound together. It doesn't sound full. It doesn't sound like you're playing solo piano. All right, the last two, definitely not the last, but least, but probably, arguably, could be the most important. So rhythm is going to be number 11. Rhythm, you have to have rhythm. And I would argue these kind of go together, but rhythm, right? You need to know rhythms, whether it's comping, whether it's improvising, whether it's playing melody. Like, you have to know how to play and execute certain rhythms, how to read rhythms. All you have to have them internalized so that you can play them, whether it's, you know, eighth notes. If it's quarter note triplets, 16th notes, right? Whatever it is, maybe it's a combination of both. Rest, maybe it's just eighth notes in weird places. Maybe it's like the upbeat, so 1 and 2, 3, 4, and 1 and 2. Whatever it is, right? You just need to know rhythms. You need to be comfortable with different types of rhythms, being able to read them, being able to play them. And if you can't read them and play them, then they're not going to be coming out in your playing. And you definitely need that for your solos, right? You need triplets, right? Right? Ba-da-ba-da-dee, the triplet in there, right? Triplet-dee-dud. You know, a little 16th note in there, right? Quarter note triplets, whatever it is, and a combination of all of that. So rhythm is a huge, huge part of jazz, obviously. Now, the last thing is swing, right? You need to know how to swing. And again, don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. So if you're not swinging, right, unfortunately, I hate to say it, it just doesn't matter what you're playing. It really doesn't. Like, you could be playing the most killing lines, but if you're not swinging, if you're not in the pocket, like, I know great, great players, but they can't swing. They just can't swing. Like, and they'll be playing great stuff. Like, they have these great lines, but it sounds choppy. It sounds fragmented. It doesn't feel good to the soul. Like, you really need to feel that pocket, right? Whatever it is. Whatever it is, like, it just has to swing in. I know to myself, like, when I'm not swinging and it pains me, like, oh God, I wasn't completely in the pocket. It should always be your goal to always be in the pocket. Like, if there's lines that are coming out of the pocket, based on what you're playing, then you got to work on that. So do I. I mean, swinging is a huge thing. Your solo should be swinging at all times. Like, if that's the tune that you're playing. At no point in your solo should your playing ever be out of the pocket. It should never not be swinging. It should always be swinging, unless you're intentionally doing it. But if you're unintentionally not swinging, that's an issue, right? And everything you've worked on up until that point, all your licks, all your, you know, your language, everything, it doesn't matter because you're not swinging. So swing, it is first and it's also last. Like, you need to work on that first, but if you don't know what to play, you can't really swing. And again, once you've learned what to play, you still need to learn how to swing. It's there at all times. Okay, so probably the most important thing there. Okay, so just to quickly review, all your seventh chords, root position, and all your inversions. Number two, all your major and minor scales. Number three, your diatonic modes. Number four, your rootless voicings. Your drop twos, and it doesn't have to be your rootless voicing, just any sort of drop two. Like, if I want to play a root position drop two here for an E flat minor seven, or whether it's a drop two like this, any voicing you should be able to play in a drop two fashion. Like, shouldn't matter what type of voicing it is. You just need to know all drop two, how to play any voicing in a drop two manner. Number six is extensions, knowing how to pick out all of your extensions. 9, sharp 11, 13, flat 13. For all chords, you know, 9, 11, natural 13. Doesn't matter. Whatever key that you're in, doesn't matter. Let me see. That was number six. Number seven, I got my little notepad here, my little cheat sheet. Improv, connecting your chord tones, right? Right, that should be able to be, doesn't matter. Sorry. And you can do that with your bass notes, right, like I was just doing. Right, using the modes and connecting them through every single chord. Number eight is going to be your improv scales, altered, whole half, half whole, whole tone, okay, all keys, up and down. Nine is going to be improv with your approach notes, right? You know, all the different approach notes in half, right? Your half step above, below, your chord scale above, the combination, right? For every single chord. And again, all these exercises, everything I'm explaining in this episode is all in Jazz Piano School, systematically set up so that you're moving and learning in a step-by-step fashion that includes all these materials, right? I know when you go and try and do this on your own, you have to look for all these different things in all these different books. Where do you find approach notes? Where do you find all these chords, right? That's why it's so hard and difficult to learn jazz piano. Number nine, let me see. Number 10, your solo piano components. Excuse me. Your bass notes, shells, bass note to shell, bass note to chord, just shells alone, just bass notes alone. These are all left-hand solo piano components. 1, 7, 10, 1 and 10. These are all different types of left-hand solo piano components. You need to be able to put those together and use them with the melody. And finally, number 11 and 12, rhythm is number 11. Work on all sorts of rhythm. And 12 is going to be swinging. Okay. So I hope that's helped, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. As always, thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you in the next podcast. And happy practicing.